Today is based on the 18th and the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. We will follow the course of our program in picking up the lesson at this point. Otherwise, I will be far behind the other classes, and it makes it difficult for me when we have this little meeting downstairs before we have Bible class to explain their lesson and to keep in mind my own. Therefore, we pick up the lesson at this point, and we find that the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Wonderful, my hearers, that the Lord appears to anyone. Could I put a question to you? Has he ever appeared unto you in your life? He appeared in a wonderful way unto Abraham. For we find that he saw three men standing near him. And he ran to meet them, and he fell down before them. And he pleaded with them that they would stay, and he would fetch some water for them to wash their feet with, and he would get a morsel of bread for them so that they could eat, and that they should sit under the tree and rest themselves, and then after they had eaten, why then they could continue on their way. For this reason they had come unto him. Wonderful, my hearers, that Abraham, who was 100 years of age, ran. He forgot his age. He ran and he fell down before them. And he pleaded with them. The commentary says that Abraham did not know that this was the Lord. But from reading the contents, we would understand that he perceived that they were three heavenly beings. They were not ordinary men. He seen this on their countenances. They were human beings, but, as the commentary says, they were probably three angels, created angels, who appeared in human form. But when we follow this chapter, we find that one of them was most certainly the Son of God, who likewise appeared in human form unto Abraham. For Abraham calls him Lord and pleads that if he had found favor in his sight, would he not then stay? And then he would find some water for him and for those that were with him, and would fetch a morsel of bread. And they said unto him, do as thou hast said. We take particular notice of the hospitality of Abraham, inviting these three strangers to eat with him. And when they said, do as thou hast said, he ran to the tent. Again, he forgot his age. And he said unto Sarah, make ready quick 3 measures of meal, knead it, and bake cakes on the hearth. And he ran to the herd, and he fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man to dress it. And after he had brought the water, the bread, milk and butter, as it says, and the calf, he set it on the table underneath a tree, and they did sit there and eat. He was the waiter, he waited on them. The Bible says that we should have our houses open even for strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares, referring to this, what I am speaking about, that Abraham entertained angels. Yea, he entertained the Lord of angels, Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus, when he was here upon earth, he spake and said that if we likewise did anything good to one of his children, then he would reckon it as if we had done it to himself. So in doing this, my hearers, we likewise entertain the Lord when we do good to one of his dear children. Now, these men then had come for an express purpose. They came to speak unto Abraham and his wife concerning the promise that he had already given unto them. We find that Abraham had been complaining to the Lord that he had no child, he had no seed, and that one that was born in his house was to be heir to all that he had, which was Eliezer. But the Lord said, he shall not be thine heir. One that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he led him outside of the tent, and he said, look up unto heaven and tell the stars if you can. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And it says, and Abraham believed him, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And in the preceding chapter, we find the Lord appearing again unto Abraham and promising him that in the following year, Sarah would bear a son, and that they should call his name Isaac, and that he would establish his covenant with him and with his seed after him. Here in this chapter, again the Lord appears and speaks unto Abraham in the hearing of Sarah. For these three said unto him, where is thy wife? Sarah, she is in the tent, he said. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee at the time of life, and Sarah shall bear thee a son. And Sarah, she was in the tent, and she was listening to what this person was speaking. I sincerely believe that she knew it was the Lord too that was speaking. But when she heard this, that she was going to have a son, she laughed inwardly. Sarah and Abraham, they were stricken in age. They were old. Sarah was 90 years of age, and it was no more with her according as it was with women. And Abraham was 100 years old. And she laughed, and she said in herself, talking to herself, shall I, who am old, have pleasure, and my Lord also, who is old? We see in this that she did not receive these words in faith. She received this in unbelief. She looked at nature. She couldn't have any more children. She was past that age. But she did not listen to him who was speaking, who was the Lord of heaven and of earth. She did not believe this. It was an impossibility on her side, and she laughed and she spoke to herself. You know, my hearers, when we laugh and when we speak to ourselves, maybe nobody's around, nobody sees us, nobody knows what we say to ourselves either, but there's one that does. There's one that knows all things, and that one was sitting in the front of the tent eating at the table and speaking in this manner. And she realized not that he who had said this knew what was going on in her and knew that she had laughed. So the Lord spake again unto Abraham and said that of a certainty Sarah would have a son. And then he said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Surely I will return unto her at the time of life, and she shall surely have a son. Again, the promise given. Oh, my hearers, sometimes God's dear children, they need a promise renewed. Have you ever had a promise in your life? Has God ever spoken to you and given you the hope in His Word? What a mercy you have, my hearers. So many people have hundreds of promises. They steal them. But if you have one promise, one that God has given you, that one promise most certainly will be fulfilled. Sarah, she could not believe this promise, and she did not receive it in faith. She laughed. Then the Lord questioned Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And he again promises the same thing as he had done. What a mercy to have a promise and to have it confirmed, to be assured that God has given you that promise. And he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? My hearers, had she known and believed that this was the Lord that was speaking to her, surely it would have overcome all what she had thought in herself. She was looking at herself, she was looking at nature, and it was an impossibility. And now the Lord asked, wherefore did Sarah laugh? She must have thought in herself, how did he know I laughed? How does he know what I was thinking about? This must have confirmed to her that this person must have been the Lord. Nobody else knew this. And now this word, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It was as if he said, Sarah, it is true, you've been barren all your life. You never had any child. But who shut up your womb? Did not I? Am I not the Almighty God? Am I not able to open your womb and give you a child, even though you are of that age? Have I ever spoken and not fulfilled my word? Did I ever tell a lie? All these truths, my hearers, must have come up into her mind when he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, my hearers, there isn't anything too hard for the Lord. Abraham was 75 years of age when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. I probably have some listening to me that are over 75. It's not an impossibility. It's not too hard for God to call you yet, even though you have attained this great age. He can soften the hardest of hearts, my hearers, no matter how old you may be. It was 25 years later that the Lord came again with a promise so that he and his wife would have a child. Have any of you ever had a promise from God in your life? Have you ever been troubled about yourself, about your sins, about where you're going to spend eternity, and how shall you ever be saved? And it may be that God came to you in your trouble and your distress, and then he spoke some nice, sweet words, just fitting to your soul. Oh, he knows how to speak a word in due season to a soul that's weary. And when you're weary and sin-sick and you don't know any way no more to be saved, that's just when he comes, my hearers. Has he ever come to any of you and given you some hope in the word that has come home to your heart? And when you received that word, oh, how sweet it was to bring that word to the Lord in prayer. When you drew nigh unto the Lord, you reminded him of his promise. Oh, and you had such hope and such faith to believe that this promise would soon be fulfilled. And it may be things went so contrary to the way that you expected expected it to go. Oh, you sense that this life of prayer, this drawing nigh to God, seemed to ebb away. And you found that sin began to be so strong. It overcame you. So many times you gave way to sin. And all you began to doubt, you began to disbelieve even the promise that God had given unto you. Satan probably attacked you and said, look at your ways, look at your sins, look at the way you live. You think you're a child of God? You're not one of them. And when he discovers to you your sins and your inconsistencies, he doesn't discover any lies, no. He brings truth home too, and you have to admit sometimes that that is true. And these things bring a person down. They begin to doubt, they begin to fear, they come into darkness, into deadness, coldness, prayerlessness even. Oh, they can't believe that whatever God has begun a good work of grace in their souls. So they have said probably in themselves, I wish I never said anything to anybody about this. Or that I had kept quiet. I can't believe anymore that I'll ever be saved. I think it's all wrong. You ever been there, my hearers? Unbelief. Can't believe anymore. So then it's the time that the Lord comes. And he comes sometimes with this very word. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He takes you away from yourself. He leads you to himself. Oh, there's nothing too hard for him. He is able to save, mighty to save, willing to save. But all you've been so cast down, all you've been saying, just as the psalmist says in one of the psalters, doth his promise fail forevermore? It seems that way. You've had that promise of so many years ago. Huh. Nothing will ever come of it, you say. The psalmist thought so too. Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Oh, my hearers, this isn't a very pleasant place to be brought into. Oh, no, but sometimes we are brought there so that the Lord may manifest that he is a faithful God, that he remembers the word that he has spoken unto you. Have I said it, and shall I not do it? What has proceeded out of his mouth most certainly shall take place. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So Sarah was rebuked. So Sarah likewise was told that she most certainly would have a child at the set time. So, my hearers, if you have had a promise that Jesus Christ will be revealed in your soul and your hope is centered upon him, you've been waiting for him, looking for him, maybe 25 years, maybe longer. The Lord, he never forgets what he has spoken. He will come back at the set time as he came likewise here. And you will have the fulfillment of that word. This Sarah, when she was accused that she had laughed, she spake and said, I laugh not. Who did she say that to? You know, my hearers, it's nature. I'm guilty, and probably you are too. When we have done something wrong and inconsistent, we should have never done it, and it comes out that we have done it, and somebody accuses us and says, you have done that, what's the first thing we do? What's the first thing you have done? Oh, I didn't do that. Not me. Somebody else did it. Oh, how seldom are we honest. How seldom do we own up to what we have done. Oh, when God makes you upright, you have to be upright before him. But oh, how many times have not you and I been like this, like Sarah? I laugh not. We say that to each other, but she said it to him who was the God of heaven and of earth, and who knew her, and who had heard what she had said inside. Oh, how inconsistent this was to her. And let me bring before you this wonder, even though she denied that she laughed, she lied, the Lord did not change his promise. He surely fulfilled his promise. And even though you and I have denied and lied, he most certainly will keep his word. He's not as we. He never goes back on his word. And now we find that these men arose from the table where they were eating, and they looked towards Sodom. This was the place where Lot, the nephew of Abraham, had chosen to dwell. It was his own choice. And he dwelt in the city called Sodom and Gomorrah. Wicked cities, my hearers. Wicked people living in that city. So they were sinning against God terrifically. Oh, we often say it's just like Sodom and Gomorrah in the world today. When we look around us and we see how many creatures that we know care not about God, live without God, even deny that there is a God, speak against him openly. Oh, we are living in wicked times, my hearers. But the sin that was going on in the city of Sodom is called sodomy. Men with men having intercourse with each other. God looking down, taking particular notice of what was going on in this city. And now this man Lot dwelling in the midst of this city, the Bible says that it hurt his righteous soul every day to live in the midst of such creatures. But now these angels, they arose to go to Sodom. And we find that Abraham, he stood before the Lord. Two of them went to Sodom, but one, the one that he had been speaking to, and the one that had been speaking unto Abraham and to Sarah, he remained. Abraham then stood before the Lord, and he drew near unto him. Oh, he had a feeling sense and a realization of whom he was drawing near to. He was drawing near to the Lord of heaven and earth. He drew near, my hearers, in reverence, in awe, in fear. He drew near with a great concern in his soul. For the Lord had said unto him that he was going to go to Sodom. For the cry of that city had come up before him, and he was going to this city to see whether this cry was true or not. Oh, my hearers, sometimes the sin of people and of nations cries unto God for vengeance. And this is what was coming up before the Lord, the cry for vengeance. And God was coming down to bring vengeance upon them. They were crying for it. And God was ready to fulfill what they were crying for. And now he spake unto Abraham and said unto him, shall I hide from Abraham that which I shall do? Oh, my hearers, what a mercy that God reveals unto his children sometimes things in the future. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And so Abraham was one that feared the Lord. And this secret that he discovered disclosed unto Abraham was that he was going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. And he says, I know, Abraham, that he shall keep the word of the Lord, and that he shall likewise keep his children and his household and teach them the way of the Lord. For from Abraham there would spring forth a mighty nation, and all the earth would be blessed in him. Abraham then was well known by God. God spake unto him concerning what he was going to do. And this man Abraham, he was a faithful father, a faithful man in his house. He instructed his whole house in the way of the Lord. He had church in his house, my hearers. He taught the people, he taught his servants, he held before them the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment and righteousness. Oh, I have some parents listening to me. That this teaches us as parents how short we come in what we have promised and in what we should do, in teaching and in keeping our family together and instructing them in the way of the Lord. Oh, are we not all guilty as parents in this respect, my hearers? Oh, what a neglect even in teaching and instructing our children. Oh, there's hardly any families anymore, we would say, that have any Bible reading together, that have any prayer with each other together, that are found on their knees together with each other. What a neglect, my hearers, of listening even to the outward proclamation of the gospel. How many families, probably the parents are here and the children are somewhere else, to the grief and to the sorrow of the parents. But oh, how they feel about it. They feel as if it's their own fault that their children are that way. Oh, had I but instructed them, had I but insisted on it. Abraham was faithful to his children and to his house. Oh, how unfaithful are we as parents in this respect in bringing up our children, my hearers. Oh, this is a great sin in the sight of God likewise. And he will likewise ask a reckoning for it of you and I. Oh, there are so many, my hearers, that care not about God, care not about his service, have no desire for it. Oh, children and parents, we are all guilty in this respect. Oh, that we may be given to do as Abraham did. The Lord knew that he would be faithful, that he would lead his family, lead his household, and teach them the way of the Lord. All parents, come, let us return unto the Lord, for we have sinned against him. Oh, let us gather our children together and instruct them in the way of the Lord. Instruct them in the way of salvation. Oh, take the Bible and read it to them. As good as you are able, explain as much as you can. Make it a habit, my hearers. All get together on your knees and seek God. For it is an awful thing to think that we are members of the church and that we believe in the divine being and we make no service of teaching our children this. It's left mostly to the church itself, to the elders, to the minister that may be present, and the parents think this is sufficient. Oh, may we be given to feel how guilty we are in this respect. And may we unitedly be given to turn back to the Lord from whom we all have gone astray in this matter. The Lord then spake unto Abraham in this respect and told him what was going to take place with Sodom and Gomorrah. And he came before him with a great concern. He had Lot living in Sodom. This was his nephew. And now to think that Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed and Lot dwelling therein, this became a concern for Abraham. And he drew near and spake unto the Lord and said, possibly there are 50 righteous persons dwelling in Sodom. Wilt thou destroy the whole city? Wilt thou destroy it all, even though there are 50 righteous people dwelling in the city? The Lord said, nay, if I find 50 persons that are righteous in the city, I will spare the city for them. And now we find that this Abraham, he's like an intercessor. He's pleading. Who is he pleading for? He's not pleading for the wicked. He's pleading for the righteous, praying that if there be so many righteous in the city, that the Lord would spare the city for their sake. Oh, he felt himself, as you follow his prayer, my hearers, he felt himself so small in the sight of him with whom he was dealing. He felt himself to be but dust and ashes. And he felt that he was before the judge of all the earth, who surely would not do anything wrong, but would do right. He continues to plead from 50 to 45, 45 to 40, 40 to 30, 30 to 20, 20 to 10. And this is as far as he got. He wasn't given to plea anymore. There were not 10 righteous people in this city. For if there were, the Lord would have spared it. And the Lord left off communing with Abraham. So you take notice that it was the Lord that was giving Abraham to pray this way. And he left off communing with him and went toward Sodom. And in the next chapter we read, that Lot, he was sitting in the gate of the city of Sodom, and it was eventide. And he saw two men coming to him in the distance. And he ran to meet them, just like Abraham. He had ran to meet these three men, but now there was only two. The one was not there. The Lord was not there. These two angels had been sent to Sodom for the express purpose of destroying it. Angels, my hearers, they are written of in the scriptures that they are ministering servants unto those that are heirs of salvation. Take notice, these three angels, they had ministered unto Abraham and Sarah a very wonderful and a comforting promise that they would have a son. Many times they had been used by God for this purpose. You may read this throughout the scriptures, that angels came down and visited people and spoke to them and gave them promises and assured them of the things that were to take place. And many times God sent his angels as angels to destroy. All here we have of these angels sent to Sodom for the express purpose to destroy the cities of the plain. And now this man, Lot, he ran to meet them. And he invited them, just like Abraham did, to come into his house and to stay there that night. And that he would give them likewise water to wash themselves and to refresh themselves. But they said, nay, we will remain in the street of the city. But he pleaded with them. He almost forced them, it says, and they consented then to go into his house. This man, Lot, he was in this way exceptionally blessed because he was living in this wicked place amongst these wicked people. And he was living very far away from God. He was the only one that was righteous in that city. And we don't read that he had any blessing, that anybody else became righteous. But that even through his warnings and speakings and teachings and testifying against their sins, that he gained one soul. None. But he still remained there. He was attached to this place. It was a place where he was getting rich and he was after money. His cattle was multiplying and it was a very fertile plain, and he was able to sell his cattle to the people of the cities, and he was gaining in a way of becoming rich tremendously. And now being so attached to this place, here the Lord singled him out yet. And the angels, they came and they entered into his house. And he made a great feast for them, the Bible says. He just didn't give them water to wash their feet with, but he made a great feast for them. And now when it got time to go to bed, we find that the people of the city surrounded the house. Young and old, mind you. The men of the city, they surrounded the house. And Lot, he went out to them. He opened the door and he began to speak to them. And they told him to bring out the men that had came into his house so that they may know them. They wanted to commit sodomy with these men. This was their purpose. This is why they gathered around his house. Such sinful creatures they were. And Lot, to his shame, it is recorded that he spake unto them and said that he had two daughters that had not known man. He would bring them out to their men. And they could do what they wanted with his daughters, but they should not touch the men that were in his house. How far Lot was gone in this respect. What little faith, what little trust he had in that God in heaven above, who had sent two angels to his house. Here he would offer as a sacrifice for the lives of these two men, his two daughters. But they refused these people. They said, he come in to sojourn with us. And is he going to be a judge? We will deal hardly with you, they said, more than with the men. And they pressed sore upon this man Lot. They were going to take him and misuse him. But we find that the angels inside of the house opened the door. And they took Lot in and shut the door. And they smote these men on the outside of the house with blindness, so that they couldn't find the door. And then these men began to speak to Lot what was going to become of the city. So they entreated him to go out and tell his son-in-laws and his sons and his daughters, if they were married, that they should get up out of the city because it was going to be destroyed. The Lord willing, my time is far gone. We will pick up the subject at this point next week. The Lord bless and sanctify his word to your hearts for his name's sake. That's all. During my time is far gone, we will pick up the subject at this point next week. The Lord bless and sanctify his word to your hearts for his name's sake. That's all.